Our reading this morning is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, to be found on page 1190. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with him, in order that he may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Thank you, Andrew. And let's pray before we look at this passage together. Father God, we thank you for the blessing of your word and of your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that he would teach us now as we look at these words together from 2 Thessalonians. And I pray, Lord, you would move our hearts and help us to stand firm in your instructions, to stand firm in your word. In the name of Christ. Amen. Now, you've probably seen those stay calm and carry on posters, haven't you? You know, I used to quite like them until the mugs arrived and the T-shirts and the aprons and, you know, everything else arrived. You know, it all became a little bit too much, really. It's too much stay calm and carry on. Worst of all, I remember an archdeacon preaching at Norwich Cathedral to a crowd of assembled vicars and church wardens. And she was basically saying, well, you know, the church is in a bit of a mess. That's an understatement. There's no children, there's no money, there's no vision, but stay calm and carry on, she is saying. And that seemed to be the entire point of her sermon. Stay calm and carry on. It was a false hope. There was nothing really there to base that hope on except this kind of vague notion that God was good and it would all be right in the end. In contrast, throughout 2 Thessalonians, I hope what we've seen is we find Paul offering advice, real advice, based on a real hope to God's people, who as we've gone through the book, we've discovered that they're feeling quite unsettled by a number of different things. That's three things that really have unsettled the Thessalonian believers. And we can see that in chapter 1, you have the persecutions and the trials that they're facing and having to endure. In chapter 2, there's the sensational scaremongering and mobile phones and things. The sensational scaremongering of the false teachers are coming in and saying, the Lord's already come, have you missed it? And then in chapter 3, we meet the idlers. And these are the people who think that the return of Jesus Christ is just around the corner, and therefore there's no point in working anymore. And because they're not working, they're becoming, as people who don't work sometimes do, they're becoming a bit disruptive. They're a little bit trying to those who are in work because they're bored and basically they start meddling in other people's affairs and they become busybodies, verse 11, Paul tells us. So rather than stay calm and carry on, Paul's advice here to the Thessalonian church and his prayers for them are based on firm foundations. Do you remember right at the beginning of the series we started talking about the scaffolding or the framework for prayer that Paul had, and there were two components to that. The first was that he was looking at the signs of God's grace in their lives and he was giving thanks for them. And then he said, don't be unsettled because I can see God working your life. And secondly, he said, and remember that the Lord is coming in judgment. The Lord is coming in judgment over all and over all people. So he's been teaching us through this letter how to live every day as we wait expectantly but patiently for the Lord's return. So the title of this talk is Living Every Day. Living every day. And we've already seen, Paul has been saying, you won't be unsettled if you remember that the Lord Jesus, because of persecution, because of trials in this world, if you remember that the Lord is coming in judgment. And you won't be unsettled by those scare stories if you remember our present security and assurance in Christ is based on that certainty of being part of God's overall salvation story, if you remember talking about that, the story of Israel, looking back to their past salvation, looking forward to their future glory, and concluding that God is perfectly capable of taking care of their present lives. And today, Paul gives us three concluding points about living every day. He says, live every day under authority, live every day on mission, and finally, and it's on your sheets, that everyday lives require discipline, not authority, as I put on the sheet mistakenly, but everyday lives require discipline. So first point, live every day under authority. Now, we don't have exactly the problems that Paul and the Thessalonians had back then, but we do know that our society is increasingly secular and increasingly turning people are turning their backs on the Christian values that have really upheld this country for many centuries, despite really not having anywhere to go to replace them. And I think that's becoming quite unsettling for our society and for us as Christians living in there. And against that background, we see in our very own denomination, the Church of England, ever more willing to put cultural values ahead of God's word and the Bible. But one of the things that we notice as we read this particular passage is the note, the sense of authority with which Paul speaks as an apostle. And I want you to notice that. Verse 6, he says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters. And verse 10, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. And actually, the word there is, again, we commanded you. It's the same word. We gave you this rule. And verse 12, he talks about the busybodies, and he says, such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down. And in verse 14, if anyone doesn't obey our instruction, this letter takes special note of him. Do not associate with him. You see, I command you, follow these rules. Take special note of those who disobey. It all sounds quite heavy-handed, doesn't it? Quite military. Even the word for idler here is the sort of word that you might use of a soldier who gets out of line, you know, a disorderly person. Get back in line, man. That kind of tone or voice Paul is using here. He's kind of been taking the role of commanding officer. And we're not really used to that in the Bible. We're not really used to this real sense of authority coming across, this kind of language. Even in verse 17, he signs off in his own handwriting, doesn't he? He says, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all. That's good news, even though sometimes we fear.